As you know, that we this morning we celebrated the Apostles' Feast, and especially the martyrdom of Saints Peter and Paul. That's why the readings of today, of this Sunday, are concentrating on two missions. The first mission of tonight, the Vespers, the mission of the 12 disciples. In the Gospel of tomorrow, usually the Gospel of the raising of incense, morning raising of incense, always speaks about the resurrection. This is a very important, I don't know if you know that or not. On the first day, the first Sunday of the week, Coptic Sunday, the first Coptic Sunday, according to the Coptic months, like tomorrow, like this weekend, is the resurrection story or the Easter story from St. Matthew Gospel, the second St. Mark, the third St. Luke, and the fourth St. John. Always comes like that. And then they repeat and repeat and repeat. So tomorrow you will find the morning of incense Gospel from the Gospel of St. Matthew about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want this to happen. And keep inside so as not to annoy us. Even his vibration. So the second one will be St. Mark next, and then St. Luke, and then St. John. But I'm speaking about the Vespers, the Gospel of the Vespers tonight, and the Vespers of the liturgy tomorrow. They are speaking about the mission that the Lord sent to help him and to teach them how to serve. So today is about the 12 disciples. Tomorrow about the 70 apostles. And as you know, there is a big difference between the 12 disciples and the 70 apostles. 70 apostles, the Lord appointed them and sent them two by two to precede him and to follow up with him. Some cities he went already, and some places he was going to go and preach there. So he sent them to prepare the way for him. And for both, he asked them very important, if you could kindly bring it back, very important guidance for their lives and for their mission, their service as well. So the Gospel begins with, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them, before asking them anything, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure the disease. So, and this is the marvelous of the service of Jesus Christ with Jesus Christ. If he asks us to leave things, the first thing he does is to give us power and authority. Power and authority. Why? Because the things that she will ask them to do can never be done unless they have power and authority. Power on the demons, on Satan, to cast them out, and authority on the bodies to cure them, to heal them. And here is a very important point. Is this the same thing that the Lord does with us or not? And how? Answer. Answer. Do you know? Did you understand my question? I see. I ask again. I said that the Lord, before sending his disciples, before giving them any advices or instructions in their service, he gave them power and authority. Does he do this with us? No. Give them a chance to mind. And how? How we are?
Because we can see in the Bible that our Lord Jesus said that I can give you power and authority for all demons, and God give us gifts. So we can go to our priests, can they can anoint, you know, us with oil, you know.
Before that, Emmanuel, how did the Lord give us power and authority in our Lord?
Through the Holy Spirit, when he gave us his
Holy Spirit. Is there any difference between us and the others outside? Baptism.
Yeah.
Baptism. The baptism itself is a power on the devil. Why? Because the baptism is a new birth from water and spirit. And the baptism gives us the power on Satan. Satan has nothing to do with us. From the moment that we receive the new birth from above. Why? Because Satan has authority and power on those who are still suffering or living in the original sin. So the original sin is removed on the moment of our baptism. And a new nature, and this nature can overcome Satan. This is the power. So the power is in every one of us. Yes, this was a special power for them as disciples, to cure and heal. Not essential that everyone can have this power to heal, but you have the power to overcome Satan when you need, when you want. Question, then why do we fall in sin? If we have this power, why do we fall in sin? And why does the devil overcome us sometimes? Because it's a very important point. We do not eat much. We eat good for our bodies. At least 3 meals a day. But we don't have the same for for our spirits to grow and to strengthen our spiritual power. And also, as a result of that, what happens?
We can sin, we can do something wrong, we can fail.
We forget that we are strong. This is a very important point. We forget that we are strong. Like a man who is a rich man, and he begs from at the corners of the streets, he begs from the people. While his purse is full of money, but he doesn't recognize that he is rich. He thinks that he is poor. And he begs from the needs of this world, amusements of this world, lusts of this world, and so on. So this is another point. So it's very important to know that we are strong enough. We have power. In one of the verses, St. Paul says, if you have, why do you have dignity to yourself as if you didn't have? I gave you. So do not say that I am strong from myself, because your own strength, without my strength, without my source, will let you fall easily. This is a very critical point for us as Christians, because we always say, Satan betrayed me. Satan is a trickery. Satan, what can you see? Enticed me? No. Satan shows me things which I do love. Or he decorates these things to appear as if they are useful and good and fun and. We shouldn't do that. We should not do that easily. We always have to remember that we are strong enough to conquer Satan. One day the Lord said to his disciples, You will be brought before rulers and kings. But I give you two things, power and wisdom. To say in a way that no one will be able to argue with you or resist you or refuse you. No one. So we are strong. If we forget that we are strong, this is a problem. This is a problem. But the main difference between the others outside and the believers who got or who have received this power, that Satan cannot approach you until you invite him, until you accept it, until you invite him, until you accept him, or until you go to him. For example, I know in God's faith, in God's will, I have strength. And I have power. I'm strong and I have power. However, if I put myself in an offensive atmosphere, I cannot say I'm strong enough to resist. So I cannot go to bad place like a bar, like a casino, like bad places. Everyone knows. Or watch a bad stuff and say I'm strong enough. No, this strength is from me, but not from God. Why? Because simply God is pure, 100% pure. And the source of power that He gives you carries this purity. So if I put myself in an impure atmosphere and say I'm strong enough to resist, I betray myself. So this is a very important thing. I don't want to speak long about that, but do not forget that you are strong. You are strong. St. John wrote to the youth saying, I write to you, young, because you are strong, and the word of God is with you, and you have overcome the devil. Three things. You are strong, and the word of God is within you, steadfast in you, and you have overcome the devil. So after that, after he gave them this power, he said to them a very strange thing. He said to them, take nothing for the journey. Take nothing for the journey. Like what? Neither stuffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Very difficult. Very difficult. If I think of it, and you know, in the past, they did not used to travel by car, or by plane, or by train, or by bus. They were traveling either on foot, a pie, or on a camel when they are rich, or a donkey. So if I think of it, how come? But he said to them, whatever house you enter, stay there and eat from their hands. That's why the wisdom of the church. When anyone is selected for ordination or called by God for ordination, he stops to work. He stops to have money from his work. He starts to have money from those whom he serves, as if he is entering the house, and this house gives him what to eat. I tell you a true story happened with Abuna Pshoykan. In the 70s, he went to America for the first time, early 70s. Or end of 60s. And when he went to America, he went to Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles, there were very few businessmen. One of them was very rich. And the rest were studying, students, studying or starters. They were newcomers. And then he started to visit everyone as usual. Then he visits one of the rich people and he said to him, Abuna, please, I want to tell you something. Say, yes, what? He said, you know what? All these students are very poor. They don't have money to help you and your wife. So be sure that I will give you from my pocket every month your needs. And do not try to take any of these and anything of these people. I will take care of that. I will give you. He said, okay, thank you so much. And he ended the visit, prayed and left him. And he went to the youth in the evening. There was a meeting and the students were there. And he said to them the following. Wilad means guide. Guide. As of now, every one of you brings to us just a dish with anything to eat for Angel and myself. I want to eat from your hand. No money. I don't need any money. Just every one of you, day by day, every day, just one of you brings to us our dinner, day by day. This was the start of Abuna Pshoy in America. And they refused to take any money from this rich man or any other rich man. Why? Because of this. He said, the Lord said to the disciples, whatever house you enter, stay there. And from there, depart. And whoever will not receive you, be happy, will come. But this point is very important. That's why if he is engineer, if he is pharmacist, if he is medical doctor, he stops his normal possession or work and specializes his life and dedicates his life to the church, to the service of God. And the church gives him from your hands, from the hands of the congregation, what to live. What his needs are. That's why I was very surprised to read that and put myself in their position. So I was an engineer and my salary was kind of, when I was called, I had much less than, how can I, what I live? And everyone lived. We didn't need anything one day, just one day. We didn't need just one day. In 41 years of priesthood, I don't remember that we have never went to bed hungry. Except voluntary, if we want, but not out of shortage of food or something. This is the fact. This is the fact. The servant of God takes from God directly through the people whom he serves and whom he dedicates his life for. So, but in the beginning, he gave them power and authority. Without this power, which is a lot of faith, and authority, which is against disability, every one of them survived. And he said to them, whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. As if he is saying to them, so long they refused you Don't take from them anything, even the dust. Even the fine dust, leave it. It's not an insultation sign. No, it's a sign that you refused me, the Lord said. You refused me, I will not let my servant take anything from you, even the fine dust of his feet. It means that they have power, they have authority. In another gospel, he said to them, do not have two sandals. Just one sandal. And because St. Mark carried out this literally, this was the door that the Lord opened Christianity in Egypt. You know the interesting story. You know the story? Huh? Of St. Mark when he entered Alexandria? What happened to him? You don't remember? You know what happened? When he entered Alexandria, he found all the city, all the city full of idols, and he was in trouble. How did he start? How can he start among these pagan people? When he was walking around the streets of Alexandria, Taman, as you know, in the past, there was no paved streets like what we have now. They were in a rough. They were walking on a rough. His sandals broke. And then he went to a shoeman to repair it. His name was Anianus. And while he was working, the needle came into the finger. And he shouted, Eustace! Eustace means one God. And St. Mark said, who is that? Who are you calling? And they said, I don't know. We just say that. He said, do you believe that there is one God? He said, yes, but I don't know him. St. Mark said, let me explain to you. And Anianus was the first one to be converted into Christianity. He and his family. You know what? His house became the great cathedral of St. Mark, which is now still in Alexandria. It was initially the house of St. Mark, of Anianus, who was the first one. I can imagine if St. Mark said, what about if I take two sandals? Factor of safety. Factor of safety, I don't know what will happen. And then, when he caught one of the sandals, he could have thrown it and used the other one. He didn't do that. Because he carried out the instruction of our Lord literally, it was the good start of the most powerful church at the time, and hopefully, and remain the strong, or we hope to remain strong as it was in the past, but this was one of the very strong churches in the past. Yes. Yeah.
So for 40 years, they wore the same sandals.
Ah, it's another story. He kept, he could have kept the sandals of St. Mark at the time, but he did not want to do that, to let him start preaching the gospel in Alexandria from this way. And you know, you understand what Paul said? When the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years, the Lord kept the sandals. They did not repair because they were in the wilderness. So the Lord took care of them 40 years. It's a marvelous, thank you. It's a good point. So they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Tomorrow, the 70 apostles had the same advices, instructions from the Lord. And then they went everywhere and they came joyfully to the Lord, saying, even the devils submit to us in your name. And this is the last point they say tonight. Then the Lord said, commenting on that, yes, I saw Satan coming down from heaven like a lightning. I give you power and authority and. However, do not rejoice because you have power on the devils, but because your names are written in the kingdom of heaven. So this is the most important thing. The Lord gives us power here on earth, but it is not essential for everyone to search for this power or authority to make miracles or to perform wonders. But it's moreover important for me, for my names to be written in the kingdom of heaven. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the main goal of our life here on earth is that our names be written in the kingdom of heaven. There is a fact I want to tell you. On the moment that you are baptized, or you were baptized, your name was written in the kingdom of heaven. It means your place was booked in the kingdom of heaven. It means the gate of heavens is open to you. What happens to us? Struggle and strive and make sure to keep these names. Yani, in another word, I don't do everything, praying, repenting, reading the Bible, fasting, confessing, receiving the Holy Communion, serving the Lord by any ways. All of these are not goals in themselves. All of these are means, tools to help us to keep our names written in heaven. That's why at the end of the Revelation book, he said, whoever omit any letter of the book of this prophecy, the Lord will delete his name from the book of life. It means that my name is already written. So if I keep the commandments that the Lord gave me, not as a heavy on my shoulder, no, but as a good chance for me to keep my name, to keep my name, to keep my church in heavens, then I told the other, the young man who was very bad in behavior, like Moses the Black, and the church was trying to help him to come and help him to come, but he refused. Until one day, something happened in his life. When a servant came to him and said, please come today. It's the most important day, the Holy Week. Today is the Good Friday. Come just attend a few minutes or hour or whatever. He said to him, you know what, I will go. If I don't come back to the church, do not try to let me see your face. Don't come to me anymore. Then he said, yes, I agree. Then, by the God, the Panchukrato, the Almighty God, who loves everyone, when he entered to the church on Good Friday, it was about 12 o'clock, and the priest was preaching about the crucifixion of our Lord to us, and the great love that he gave to us. Then, it was a turning point in his life. He went, and something after, he went, he repented, he started his good life, and then all of a sudden, he fell sick with a very, very serious disease. And he was going to die. And the last days of his life, he saw in a vision St. Mary. And St. Mary was showing him the heavens, the paradise of joy, not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not yet open. She was showing him the paradise and the people there. Then he went and she, who is that? She said, this is St. Mark, this is St. Stephen, this is St. Anthony, this is St. Abu Ma'ar, this is St. Demiana, this is Barbara, this is Juliana, all the saints. And he found a chair, an empty chair. And he said, whose chair? He said, you don't know? This is your chair. It was booked for you. And they show it to you now because you will come soon and you will sit on it. A few days later, he departed from heaven after this legend. And he won the chair. So every one of us have his name written in the book of life and have his chair booked for him. Be wise enough to keep it. Be wise enough not to lose it. Be wise enough not to ignore this fact that you are now among the people of heaven, among the family of heaven, every one of us. Try to keep it as much as you can. And there is nothing in the whole world compared to this great blessing when we are really, really living after long life, not willing for every one of you, for me, no. But I mean, I hope that everyone have long life, but a very peaceful life and stretch, growing spiritual life until we reach a point that we say, okay, let us now go, let your servant depart in peace, like Simon the priest. Glory be.